You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7. Crew is in the building. My man Jay Moore, how are you, brother?
Doing well, doing well. You know, the marathon continues. You know the vibes.
Yeah. Shout out to Nipsey. Man, longevity repping LB business. I see you.
Man, 2 weeks in a row.
You must really love LB, brother.
Yeah, man. Thank you. You know, shouts to you, man. That jersey looks interesting.
That's crispy.
Yeah, hey, man. You know, Jay Moore put me on to his plug, and I decided this is my first time.
So. I mean, you balling?
No, I ain't balling. I found this on
He's
the clearance.
He's definitely balling now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got this at Goodwill. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like 20 minutes ago?
Yeah. Okay. It was the 1999 at Goodwill.
Oh, okay.
My man DJ J Diff. What's happening, man?
Salutations.
You all right?
I'm good, man. I ain't doing my shirt laundry.
It's cool, though. You did glasses laundry, though.
Yeah, I had to put my glasses on and change it up a little bit.
At least you can see.
Know what I'm saying? Yeah, I can see. Yeah. Clearly, now that the rain is gone.
Mm. I see what you did there.
You're damn right.
Yeah, shouts to everybody that notices that we are shooting back-to-back.
They might. And if not,
now they know.
Yeah, I was just late to the party. Let's get right to it, man. No foolishness. We're gonna get right into it. Shout out to the Queen Rhapsody. Let's talk. Actually, let's show a video of her talking about how it's not only men that are upholding the patriarchy in hip hop music. I think this video is very enlightening. She makes some good points, so we'll play that and we'll discuss.
Women complaining about sometimes the sexualization of women in music, not just hip hop, just music in general. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, it's because of the men. But in my observation, and there's nothing wrong with it, a lot more women buy into the images that are more sexualized. That's just an honest conversation. I don't know. Sometimes it could be, you know, I feel liberated through this music, you know, or whatever have you. But it's just an observation. And so I just speak on it because I know there's this narrative about men. We do live in a patriarchal system, but there's this narrative that it's only men holding up the sexualization of women in hip hop. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Jay Moore, you're the first person I thought about when I saw this clip. We've had this conversation, you know. We've talked about a lot because we've been doing this for a long time. So certain things are going to come, you know, recycle, right?
I first thought of you when I thought about the
don't do that. Don't
the
do
sexualization.
That. Don't do that.
Patriarchy. Don't
do that.
You.
Don't do that. But I'm very curious to see what you think about what Rap says on this. Do you think she has a point? Did she break this down correctly in your opinion?
She's exactly right. But I mean, we can have the discussion about what it is in hip hop, maintain the patriarchy. We can have a discussion what that is in government. Mm-hmm. We can have a discussion what that is in the church. You know, you can go across all. And look, there are. Look, I said this one time. I don't think it was on this show. And I know it wasn't on the show because it predated this with us doing this thing.
Are you stunned? You was doing rounds?
I mean, you know, I people have asked me things and I've had answers. And you know,
go ahead.
It was about, you know, do you think we'll ever have a woman president? I said no, because women won't vote for her.
Wow. That's tough.
Depends. I mean, Tupac didn't think we was going to have a black president, but we did.
Yeah. But black people voted for the black president. Yeah, women did not vote for the woman who was running for president.
But what kind of women didn't vote for that president?
Well, we know exactly what kind of women didn't vote
for
her.
There we go.
Okay. But that's what, when I said that, that's who I was thinking about.
Okay.
Because they are still invested in maintaining a man as the person in power.
Right.
You know, whether it be, it didn't matter if it was, you know, Donald Trump, but they would have voted for any man over a woman because there's a level of pettiness. You know, I'm sorry, ladies, it is what it is. But also when you talk about the music, we've talked about this before. I said, when we're DJs who are out and about, we play things based on what women like. When given the opportunity to listen to Rhapsody or hear some girl sing about buttholes, ladies choose to sing about buttholes.
That brown one.
Yeah. So
I mean, he right though.
I mean,
he's
like, right. You know, stop me when I say something wrong.
Yeah, he right though.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could,
it don't sound like it's supposed to, but he's right.
There are all
though.
These women who have this incredible absolutely artistic right expression or speaking about real things, but, you know, the only ones that are supported by women, by and large, are the ones who basically are channeling stripper culture. And I've no problem with that. But, you know, that's all you that's all women support. So when you're talking about maintaining the patriarchy, yes, women have a large part to do with that, because these sexualized images that we see on TV all the time are driven by the likes and dislikes of women. If they wanted to see somebody talking about politics and wanted to talk about actual women's issues, they would stream that. They would request that. But they don't. You know, they want to put it on the floor, buy me a Birkin bag, twerk that ass for an icy chain. That's what y'all are out here doing. That's what you support. So whenever men, and this thing is, women, they have this thing where they want to blame men for these images. They want to blame men for these songs. Stop blaming men. This is on you, ladies. This is what you have done. This is what you support. So, you know, oh, I was pulling my finger. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't want to do that.
let me
pull back.
You're trying
to
get 150 comments.
But I'm just saying, like, I've been doing this a long time, and I've said it on this show before. When they pull the data for what it is that they're going to play on the radio,
yeah,
they basically throw away all the information for men. Everything, every nasty song you hear on the radio, in the club, or, you know, just out and about, is based on the likes and dislikes of women. So don't blame men for certain things, because this is what you want to hear.
Listen, women have decided what was going to happen since the beginning of time, literally. Everything, if you're a Bible reading, a Christian, or whatever you identify as for religiously, a woman has decided what you are going to do, whether it be good or bad, since the beginning of time, and that's just how it's been.
Explain?
Well,
take Adam it back to Eve.
The first story of the Bible is literally about a woman deciding the fate of mankind. How did that happen?
Man said, don't do this one thing. And she was whatever.
Don't do this one thing.
I hate long. I'm a boss. I know.
I'm going to go ahead and have that apple.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that she played him.
Or she got played and the man got manipulated because
Adam might have been a simp.
He wanted what she had. I mean, everybody knows that the SSY has a certain power.
What does that spell?
Something.
Nah. Nope.
It has a certain power that may influence a man to do certain things. So
shouldn't a man be able to control himself in those?
Oh my god!
Those areas?
I mean, yeah, he should. But at the end of the day,
what he should do versus real life,
that sealed man's fate. So if we're going by Bible principles and Bible knowledge, what she found out.
I'm sorry.
I mean, you don't. But
you don't have to. But what he's saying,
but
though,
what I'm saying is, regardless if you don't believe or not, women have pretty much determined man's fate since the beginning of time. Whether you believe in Christianity, the Bible, or whatnot, whatever.
So if I don't believe in it, then it's no.
No, not necessarily, because we're talking about
I'm just
shit.
He's just poking.
We're talking
poking
about how women
point
support the patriarchy across all patriarchy.
They do.
Okay.
So all levels of, whether it be from music to government.
Yes. And so to your point.
To religion.
To your point, it's never only just been men.
Right.
Right.
There have
right
always been women that have stood right alongside men and sometimes been the antagonist of the story.
Or been the one that made the decision at the end of the day, even if they weren't the one making the decision. Mm. Because the story goes, Adam made his decision based off the influence of Eve.
Look,
Adam should have known better.
I don't care if he's the first man. Even if we take it away from the Bible, you realize there were women who were not into having women gain the right to vote?
Yeah.
Because you know what? Because, okay, part of it
can't
is...
Can't support them liberals.
Part of it is... Now, part of it has to do with racism. Because I can't... What was the woman's name? Not Susan B. Anthony.
She's the one that made the flag.
I know who you're talking about. You talking about the one on the coin?
Basically, the woman suffrage movement, you know, who was the head of women's suffrage.
I'm trolling too much.
The only reason she wanted women to have the right to vote is because black men in certain parts of the country got the right to vote before white women.
And so they had, like, to take a test in order to vote.
No. Even in places where that wasn't true, you know, where, you know, people were a little bit.
But it was still all, it was still based on black men having the ability to vote.
How dare you give black men something before you give to white women?
Exactly.
But also part of the reason men had the right to vote, and this is why women weren't for women gaining the right to vote, is because part of the reason you got to vote is because you could go to war. So women were like, we want no parts of that. So we want no parts of voting. This whole equality thing sometimes goes too far for certain women to be able to deal with.
We can get into the whole that, but that'll cause some problems.
Oh, no. Let's cause some problems, because let me tell you something.
Happy New Year. Yeah.
think about this. Every single one of us.
And here we go.
Before we went away to college, before we get any kind of student loan or whatever. Yeah. What do we have to do?
You had to sign that postcard that came in the mail as soon as you turned 18.
Service.
There you go.
And that's something that women don't have to do.
Yeah.
We have to do that?
You didn't sign that postcard.
You don't remember when you did it, but you did it.
You did it.
And if you didn't do it, we know what that is.
Apparently. I don't know.
We ain't going to say it, but we know what that is if you didn't sign it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, all of our female friends who may be listening right now or viewing us right now, you have no idea what we're talking about because you didn't have to go through that same thing.
I remember when it came to my house, I was like, what is this? Mm-hmm. My mom was like, oh, you got to sign that and send that back in.
Exactly.
It's real.
Yeah.
If not, they going.
Now, this is the thing. I don't remember. You want to get controversial? Want to get controversial real quick?
A little bit more?
Okay. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, would you say long? We already,
you know,
we're
there already. For all of.
You already got two.
It's because, you know, like, okay, for all of our friends who are a part of the community and they may have been born a certain way, but now they identify as men.
Yeah.
Right. Are y'all willing to go full out and sign up for selective service?
Oh, you trying to get 300 comments.
I'm just saying. Like, if you want to be a man, let's go ahead and do all the things that come with being a man.
Listen, honestly, they probably ain't tripping on that because I don't know anybody that signed that selective service thing and actually got called in.
No, I don't either.
We have
a 100% volunteer military.
Exactly. But, so it doesn't really have that same effect as somebody that may have been involved in, like, the Wonder Years era, like with Fred, what's his name? And them.
Fred Hampton?
No. Shout out to Fred Hampton.
Shout out to Fred Hampton.
He's from there.
Shout out to Fred Hampton. Shout out to
Fred Hampton. Fred Hampton Jr. too, though. Yeah. I met him before. That's a good brother.
Fred Arnold.
Yeah, Fred Arnold and his brother.
Fred Savage. That was the
Fred
actor.
Fred Savage. Yeah, you right.
Kevin Arnold was the character on the show.
There we go.
But
those of us that watched The Wonder Years, you know what we're talking about. Man. That whole situation. And then I think somebody's brother died.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But that was the selective service era.
Yeah, but
even my dad was drafted to the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
So Vietnam War pretty much set in place what we're going through today, but it doesn't really affect a lot of people.
Let things keep going the way they're going and these recruitment numbers go down.
Yeah, I actually was thinking that exact same thing because people aren't enlisting like they used to.
True.
Plus, like, and the people who want to enlist are too fat. Like, they've been playing Call of Duty, so they can't answer the Call of Duty.
Well, take that out.
Yeah, we got.
But anyway,
oh, you gonna take that out?
Yeah, he'll take that out.
Well, you know they say that on the radio too.
There's a handful of things I gotta take out of this episode.
Of words that they say on the radio. But I mean, you go through basic training. I actually would enlist in the army just to go through basic training if I didn't have to do anything else after basic.
Doesn't work that way, my brother.
I know. That's why. Like, I didn't
let me just go ahead and get in shape real quick.
Yeah.
Let's bring this back around to Sister Rhapsody though. Like to put a bow on this, because Lone, I haven't heard from you yet. Have you forgot about what Rhapsody said at this point?
I think.
Or does she have a point in terms?
Everything that she said was absolutely true.
All right.
You know, even the parts where she said, you know, that I also agreed with her that, you know, a lot of times women are doing things in the spirit of, you know, uplifting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and the liberty over their own bodies and all the things that she kind of alluded to. It's not a controversial statement from what she said to me, but it is kind of sometimes controversial to suggest that, it's not just men upholding the patriarchy. And it is, like I said earlier, it is a, you know, look, black people can be racist towards black people. white people can, you know, like
some of the worst white supremacists have been black people.
It's, you know, like across.
That's real.
You don't get excluded simply because you are of said demographic in the same, you know, we've talked about this
a lot in the past.
Mm-hmm. You know, Uncle Ruckus was the worst.
But he wasn't worse than Harriet Tubman's first husband.
It's the same as like when we talk about Kid Rock and people try to defend Kid Rock because he has a mixed child and
they're still doing that.
Just because you have a child or you have a friend that's black doesn't mean that you don't, you know, uphold racist, you know, viewpoints.
Because racist
people
had black slaves.
Yeah. Right? Your proximity to blackness does not absolve you
from
racism.
And black people had slaves. So there's that as well. So, but I guess what I'm saying is like, it's interesting that she said that, kind of. I'm curious. I don't know. I think there's truth to what she was saying. There's a lot of truth to what she was saying. And I think that women do, I think now in 2024, I think women have a lot more control over this than, let's say, 20 years ago and maybe 30 years ago and 40 years ago and definitely even further back than that. So a lot of what we see out there is based upon what sells, and women understand right now what sells, and women are owning that, and whether good or bad.
Rhapsody has always been the conundrum, though, because she's...
Conundrum?
Yeah, like she's been the one that just stands out because she's so dope. Lyrically, we know the type of music that Rhapsody makes, but I would love to see a pie chart just strictly for Rhapsody of her fan base.
You know what it is.
I think I know what I've been to the show.
I know what it is, and I've been to the shows, but
I think she actually talked about that in this interview.
She addressed that as well. Yeah. Because
which is what the interview's with. I think her name's Nyla. She's the lady that I think she's on the Breakfast Club sometimes.
Oh,
she subs in every once in a while.
What's her name?
If it's the person I'm thinking of, she's also on Brilliant Idiots from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Lone, the reason I said that is because it's not about me not being aware of what her base is. I'm thinking, has it evolved? Has anything changed? Rhapsody didn't been out longer than I
think. Is she gaining more fans?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, has she gained more fans? Has the pie chart shifted? Because if I looked at it, you know, 8, 9, 10 years ago, because she's been out that long, yeah, I know exactly what it looks like. But I don't know what it looks like now. Has it changed? Like, has it changed.
Have any of the City Girls fans from the last episode converted over to Rhapsody fans?
Even if it's 3 or 4 of them. I'd highly doubt it, but I don't know because I don't have anything to support that.
Look,
I would just be very, I'm very interested in to see if her fan base and who she has that follows her analytically has changed. If it has evolved or if it's just been stagnant throughout the whole time she's been rocking with the people that she's been rocking.
But how does it change then?
How does it change?
Yeah.
Well,
how does the idea of having women support the patriarchy change?
Yeah, but, yes. But there's hella factors.
Women have to get tired of it.
Right.
That's one part.
It's not going
to
happen.
Women have to get tired of supporting things that are not in their interest. You know, there's a lot of women just like to go along to get along.
Because you have women that will speak out and say, I'm so tired of this, this, and this.
They're not, because a lot of
those
women.
But they won't go support the opposite.
No, because a lot of them women, there's probably more Too Short fans that I know that are women that are anything, honestly.
He got a lot of women fans.
Yeah.
I can't cap.
But what about the men that also support the women that are upholding it?
We know why the men are supporting the women that upholded it. This goes back to the beginning of time again.
So you're saying
Adam and Eve that Bible story.
Yeah, we ain't going back down that road. Yeah.
So what you're saying
we ain't
is
going
that
back down the road.
It's the chicken and not the egg.
Or?
Which has been actually, they actually proved that it actually was the chicken first.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Based upon proteins or something.
Well, kind of that makes sense because
Egon.
The rib came out of the man, then the chicken had to be here first, right?
Ribs.
I mean, Lone, do you like ribs?
Listen, I'm agreeing to your statement.
Yeah, I
because
know.
Because essentially, somebody had to be born first for something to be born out of them.
That's true. What I said is just based upon whatever some scientist or whatever calculated, and whether or not I believe that a rib was taken out of a person and say, here, start make a woman. Like, another thing.
I mean,
but let's circle the wagons.
What I'm saying is like, I guess my main thing with this whole thing is that I don't really look at this as a man issue or a woman issue.
Right.
I look at this just as it's both. And they both complement, like the support of the patriarchy is like this wedged thing that just feeds itself.
So both should be held accountable.
Yes,
both men
and women.
All right,
or anybody that does uphold it.
All right,
but there are interesting.
So we're saying
things about it.
Really, if you go back to the Bible, there's a bunch of simps in the Bible.
A lot of stuff in the Bible.
Joseph might have been simping.
Hey, look, Samson,
celebrate.
His girl left him after he cut his hair.
I mean, who's that guy that God killed his entire family, but he still was like a supporter?
Job.
Yeah, he was a simp for God.
And his wife looked back and got hit by that. She got turned into a pillar of salt.
Oh, man.
Because she was messing with that Sodom and Gomorrah energy. There's a whole lot of Sodom and Gomorrah energy going on right now. We ain't going to talk about that.
What up, Diddy?
Yeah. This, all right, man.
I'm just saying,
what a great episode.
It was written. I mean, at the end of the day, it was written, right?
Shout out to Nas.
This might have to be a Patreon only.
I'm trying to keep it from being Patreon only.
We ain't speaking nothing but facts.
Yeah. No, it's okay. We can flow from the survival scrolls. Let's get it.
Let me give you my rib.
You didn't give up your rib when you got married?
I don't even know what that means.
He really here.
I don't know what it means.
Can we?
No.
Shall we pivot, gentlemen?
I just know.
All right.
I ain't gonna come off no ribs.
I know you're here.
What about if they on the grill though? Coming up off them ribs
That's ignorant.
A little sauce on them. I'm gonna provide some baby backs.
That's ignorant.
To my people to come over and eat, break bread with me. Even
Jay Moore said he want his whole rib.
But he ain't cooking the steak for
you. No steaks though. Y'all on your own.
Yeah, that's because I can put like 2-3 slabs of ribs by themselves
and
on
cover
there.
A lot of people.
That feed everybody.
You can cover a lot of people with that.
You know what I'm saying? That's Jesus did it with two fish.
The multitude and a loaf of bread.
Everybody ain't getting no ribeye.
Nah.
Bunch of wine and bread and fish.
Listen, man.
Yo.
It was written at the end of the day.
Jesus was a wizard.
This dude.
Hey, watch the water.
Keep the party going.
What was that?
Eddie Griffin.
Eddie Griffin. Okay.
No, was that Eddie?
No, it wasn't Eddie Griffin.
No, that was King.
Y'all
of
keep
comedy.
The party. That was
Cedric.
Yeah.
Shout out to St. Louis, Cedric.
All right, man. Let's get to this next topic. This is a classic episode. I already know.
We can piss some people off already.
That's all right. They'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
So, check this out. Right. I'm gonna set the scene for you. We got an OG. We have a legend, member of a classic hip hop group.
Yes, sir.
Now he's, you know, late 40s. I'm gonna say late 40s. This brother's come out and said he's gonna drop 7 albums in 2024.
Okay.
Now we've had conversations previous shows about streaming and what's more valuable. OGs don't have to worry about that because they've already been established. But if I told y'all it was an OG, a part of a legendary group that's going to drop 7 albums in 2024, what would your response be?
Is it E-40?
It is not E-40. E-40 successfully pulls this off every single time. It is not E-40.
He don't drop 7. He drops.
Well, he drops.
He got 3 this year, the 2 this year, maybe 1 next year, but he got like 3 in his next pack. But I'm talking about Juicy J from the legendary 3-6 Mafia.
Memphis was
he got 7 albums. Shout out to Memphis.
The only thing that matters in this situation is, are these 7 albums worth listening to?
I'm about to cook, and we're going to get you a little bit of explanation.
Okay.
So what he said was, I've never worked this hard in my life. And he said he's going to purchase a beach house property, let his hair grow on his way out, and become
he's
a full-time hippie.
His hair. He already got locks right now.
He said he's doing that once this is over with. But he said he's confirmed he's doing 7 records. And he said there's a collaboration album with Logic entitled Live and in Color. Now, this blew my mind because I did not see that coming.
No, me neither.
There's an artist named...
So it's not in black and white?
I see what you did there. Xavier Wolf. There's a project he's doing with him. I don't know this person.
He's talented, I think. Or maybe that's...
If I'm asleep, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do my research. But it's entitled Memphis Zoo.
Maybe I don't know who that is. Never mind.
It goes by Xavier Wolf. Beat King. That's entitled Ratchet P. Hold on, it's with Beat King. It's called Ratchet P. Entitled Ratchet P. And then there's one with Project
Pat. That's probably
Pat.
Gonna be crazy.
And then there's one with Project Pat called Them Goats. I listened to that.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely getting.
I listened
to that.
He said he also unveiled there's 2 additional releases named Mental Trillness Deluxe, and then there's a hip hop jazz album called The Raven Night Social Club.
So
he's not playing. These are 7 releases. It's just a little.
I wonder if they're already done. They might already be done.
If he says he's worked that hard, maybe that's what he's alluding to, that all these records are complete and ready for rollouts.
Yeah.
What I'm saying to y'all is, how does this hit coming from someone like Juicy J where you say he's going to drop 7 projects.
It just remains to be seen. And again, the most important factor is, are they listenable?
That's a good point.
At the end of the day. And why are you not doing an album with Duke Deuce?
It's supposed to been to happen. I agree.
Why are you not messing with any other Memphis
Duke Deuce is on quality control. There might be some label situations there.
Right, but you got to, Duke Deuce got to be one of them ones.
He might have a feature.
I see you, Long. Yeah. I see. But yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that, though, Terry.
Yeah, I ain't mad at it. I mean, if it happens, it happens. I just hope a lot of this stuff is fluff, I've noticed, from people releasing albums. It's like they're saying something just to be saying it in this moment, but it doesn't transpire. We literally had this conversation a few weeks ago with Redman. Muddy Waters 2 was supposed to have been out how many years ago?
Man, I stopped counting, but you proved it when we looked it up and couldn't find it.
Yeah,
you from Memphis?
Shout out to everybody in Memphis, man. I don't want no smoke. Long Mike.
Dang.
You're the one that said
he dating Glorilla on the low. That's why you don't want to talk about it.
Cut it out, man. Go ahead, man.
No, I mean, if he actually do it, then that's cool. I'm with it, but the product still has to be up to par. Just because you're dropping 7 albums doesn't mean that it's going to be good.
At
the end of the day, ain't that what matters, that you're dropping a good product?
Here's my, I'll play devil's advocate to that, Terry. Does it matter when you're of legendary status?
I think it still matters financially.
You're stable. You're in a streaming era where clearly you're not getting anything from it, but you can still tour as a legacy act, we'll call it.
I mean,
does it really matter if all 7 of those records are lit?
No, because it doesn't matter monetarily.
I'm talking about to him, though, like as an artist, as a creative. Do you think he really cares about all 7 of those records being lit?
No, because again, it doesn't matter monetarily.
All right.
He already has his fans that are going to be his fans from things that happened previously. Regardless,
because clearly the streaming game, what I would call the Chris Brown streaming game. We told
Chris
y'all
what didn't it started though.
No, I'm not saying he started it, but what I'm saying is
cataloging, essentially, right?
Yeah, cataloging. But Jay Mora alluded to on the last episode. He talked about Snoop's payout. That's a lot of damn streams. We talked about 1.2 million or something. It was what, 45 G's?
No, it was a billion.
Was it a billion?
Billion streams. It got 45. All right,
that makes it even worse. That makes it even worse. So there's a 1.2 billion streams and it might have got him 50 G's. Like, that goes into what we've talked about, what we talked about last episode with the streaming and everything.
It also goes into an artist being an artist that doesn't need anything to do anything. At this time, he's doing it. Just because he's doing it.
He can play the catalog game and be fine.
Exactly.
I think Juicy can. 100%.
Yeah. Juicy can legitimately put these 7 albums out. And I'm just going to go ahead and give him the benefit and say that they're decent albums.
Yeah.
Pretty good albums. Oh. The only thing that I would care about from his perspective, it seems like he's doing this for catalog purposes. Like he wants that much music out there that's going to continually make money and along, you know. Like,
oh, there's some behind it.
You
facts.
Know what I mean?
Facts.
And he's just trying to put the content out there. Now, will each one of these albums keep the buzz for an entire year of dropping 7 albums in a year? That's a lot of content.
That's a good question.
You know, but that's like, it's like an album every two months.
Depending on how you want to chop it up.
Every seven weeks or whatever. But
yeah.
I think it depends also on like the type of content that he's putting out with it. Is he dropping a lot of music videos as well? Is he putting, you know, like what is all that's going into it? Because just dropping albums is one thing. But
you know what, though, Lone? I think to our conversation and our point about, you know, OG status versus the artist that we were talking about when we, you know, were talking about lower level artists. Some people, I believe, now I could be wrong because we're in a content heavy era, right? Everything is driven by content, what you put out, content. But I think sometimes there are certain artists that may not need the additional assistance from content, and they can still maybe get their point across. Maybe Juicy is one of those artists where it's like, it doesn't have to have a lot of bells and whistles attached to it for it to land and be successful. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
maybe he might be one of those people that might be past that.
He definitely is. I mean, he's already crossed over essentially.
Not when you're dropping seven albums.
See, Lone is you're hitting on the point about the meaning behind the 7 albums.
It's too many because, like, if you drop one or two good projects in a year, then there's a lot of time for people to digest it. When you drop 7 albums, there's less time for people to digest, and it's less time for people to become real, true fans of each one of these because of just how overwhelmed we are.
Because that makes it, to Lone's point, that makes it seem like it's more agenda driven, because I just want to get them out. I want to get it out. It's high content, high quality.
Or you just do it and not talk about it. I mean, Don Tripp is another artist. This past year, he's probably dropped 5 to 7 himself, 5 to 7 projects himself. Don Tripp has dropped this year. And they all were actually pretty decent. I ain't going to lie to you.
Good for him.
Star Lee, though, didn't drop anything, and he was like, well, since my guy has dropped as many albums that he said he was going to drop this year, I have to at least drop one album.
Yeah.
Starlito's album just came out, or it's about to come out next week. They're not artists that are on
Juicy
J's level, essentially. These are people that are just doing it for the love and sake of doing it. And I can't say that Juicy J's not doing it for the love and sake of doing it.
For sure, I bet he probably is.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on
but,
the I agree.
I mean, he's Juicy J. I mean, when you think about the Memphis sound that they created, it is now kind of honored as top tier. When you talk about producers and influence and things of that nature,
I would agree.
Juicy J and DJ Paul came up with the sound that is pretty much taken over when you talk about like the nuances and in things that their production did.
Very influential.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
Juicy J is in a position where, whether he drops 7 albums or he drops 1, I don't think it's going to tick any way.
Well, from what I heard and what you described, okay, it sounds like he got a solo album, then he's got a collaboration album with B. King, which is something that's going to go crazy in the clubs.
I agree with
for
you.
For the younger. Then he's got the album with Project Pat. Okay, that's going
to
be...
I'm going to listen to that.
That's going
to
be for the...
you like Project Pat now.
He ain't better than... you know what? I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to derail us. Go ahead.
That's going to be the album for that... People who really grew up on that Memphis sound.
Yeah.
Mentioned two other ones that I was like, oh,
Logic.
The Logic record.
That's the one that has my attention, Jay Moore.
Yeah, it doesn't have mine.
Why? Bro, yeah. It's not, I'm not talking about race and then that.
No.
I'm talking about the mix and what this can sound like. I'm intrigued by that.
Okay, you can tell me about it. there's another album that you mentioned, and then there's the jazz album. Like, he looks like
I probably would rather hear the jazz album.
For all of it sounds like he's trying to do 7 different projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I can get behind that as opposed to you doing 7 just Juicy J albums in 1 year. Like, it seems like you're trying to hit different pockets, different markets, different demographics. And so, like, I think it's a very ambitious thing that he's trying to do.
Yes.
I'm excited about a couple, you know, actually more than a couple of these records. I'll probably listen to them all, you know, because Juicy J is just one of those people artistically that I am intrigued by, whether it be his lyrical content or just seeing, okay, where is he going to take the music? Because honestly, this might be a situation where what he puts out in 2024 is what they're going to be sampling, you know, in 2039, because that's pretty much how his music has moved and created a certain space in the culture to where, like, everybody steal it. Everybody's essentially
the hell out
stealing
of Mafia. I ain't
not stealing
lie.
Because they're paying homage.
But
like,
they sampling the hell
that,
out of them.
They're getting that paperwork together.
100%.
But it just realizes, like, for as much influence as Dre or Dr. Premier or Dr. Premier, DJ Premier,
DJ
has Dre. has on the culture. Quite honestly, we have to put Juicy J in that category.
100%.
And if we don't do that, we're not
just Juicy J though. You got to put Jay and Paul.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm saying that sound, that Memphis sound, is a part of pop music now.
100%.
And so we have to be very honest about the contributions, because a lot of times we just like to write off things from the South because it's the South, and it's not fair.
No,
you know?
You can't. I honestly think South are a staple now.
There's still people who try to marginalize the South. It's like,
only people from New York.
Bro, if you're still trying to marginalize the impact on the South.
That are 47.
Bro, you have to be 50 and from the Bronx or something.
Or you just haven't been listening to music.
And you're talking to a person
years.
That grew up with a backpack on and loves East Coast music. But I'm not biased enough to not acknowledge the influence of the South and what it's had on hip hop and where it's at now. Atlanta in the South is the Mecca right now of hip hop. I don't care how you want to, however you want to slice
it. New York will always be the Mecca. Let's calm down.
No. I'm talking about, if you want to, Mecca might be the wrong word.
Atlanta is the influence.
It's the 100. It has the most influence. Period. If you want to say Mecca for New York, cool. Maybe I misspoke. But there's no other city that has more influence on hip hop right now than Atlanta. I don't care what you say. It just does it.
And kind of, really, I'll say this. Atlanta kind of inspired who the influence essentially.
Uh-huh.
But the sound, and we've had this conversation too, sound is not regional anymore.
Nope.
So people can come out and sound like they're from Atlanta and aren't from Atlanta.
Shout out to Designer.
Thank you. So a lot of the stuff that we hear, that's just where it's at. And, you know, I'm a hip hop head.
The South in general, because Memphis probably has more influence on Southern music than Atlanta does at this point. Maybe
that's cool. But what I'm saying is that those regions,
because so much of what comes out of Atlanta comes from transplants.
But you got New York rappers doing drill, trap, all that type of stuff.
Chicago.
Drill obviously comes from Chicago.
There's drill in Montana. I mean, it's everything.
There's Irish
everywhere.
Drill. I've heard some. True.
True. I ain't heard no Irish.
There's Irish drill.
First of all, I just sent Lone a video today of the homies from overseas. That's like 70 something. They doing trap drill stuff.
Imagine House of Pain drill.
Oh man.
What are we talking about anymore?
I don't know.
We're all over the damn place.
Nah, but I just wanted to.
It's gobbledygook.
It is. It's goblin. Goblin language.
Either way, only album, the albums out of the seven that are going to drop, the jazz joint has my attention.
That kind of has my attention.
The joint with Logic and then the joint with Project Pat. Those are the three I'm going to sign up for off GP. The rest of them,
I think Project Pat is probably number one.
That's for me.
Yeah.
You're trying to be ignorant, though.
No, I'm not. I mean, whether you cut it, display it, talk about it, whatever.
Yeah.
Project Pat is a staple in Memphis and Southern hip hop.
That's number one.
And then the jazz album. And then I'm interested to see what Logic can do behind a Juicy J production.
Is Juicy J producing everything?
That I don't know. It just mentioned the titles and, you know, features or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah. I think me not being a huge 3-6 Mafia fan, not being a huge Juicy J fan, I do like newer Juicy J stuff, but for me, I'm just looking at this from an angle of, you know, is it too much, is it too little, or not? Definitely not too little.
No,
like what's his intent behind, you know, releasing it that way, you know? And I you know, the question that you have posed here is it smart or impressive? I think it's impressive to a degree if the projects are good.
Yeah.
And because of the versatility of the projects, if they are versatile, that's kind of impressive. But I don't know why you wouldn't space it out over 2 years, to be honest. But it's whatever. You know, everybody has their own approach, and I don't really care. So,
you made a good point about giving the flowers out for the versatility in terms of if he's going to try to do this. I can give flowers out if whatever this jazz, whatever album is, and he does an album with Logic, he does one with Project Pat. That shows me that you're trying to do things outside of the norm, because it's easy for him just to, you know, get in that Memphis pocket.
Project Pat is pocket all day.
Yeah, that's pocket. But what I'm saying is the jazz joint and the Logic joint, I didn't see that coming. That's why I say they have my attention, because who has Juicy J and Logic doing a project together? I never would have saw
J
that.
Juicy J does.
Well, we about to find out.
Yeah, okay.
As he yawns.
I look at it just from a content standpoint, and it seems like he's just cataloging. It just seems like he's cataloging, you know. But he did it in his own way, and it's you know.
Or maybe a fire lit under his ass, and he's like, I haven't been doing a lot these past few years.
Maybe
we should listen to the Juicy.
I bet they're all done.
I think they're all done.
This is not detox.
Yeah,
we talk.
You know
about
what would be cool? We should listen to the Juicy J and Logic project together and record it and put it on our Patreon. Yeah,
we can do whatever we want on our Patreon. That's
yeah,
cool
and just respond to the album live and just listen to it.
Sounds cool.
You know what I'm saying?
Sounds great for our
Long,
patrons.
Hang in there, bro. Hang in there, man.
Kai Sin episode.
Man, he gives me anxiety. His anxiety and his attention deficit gives me anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And his mom's just like him.
Oh, man.
Did you see the Nicki Minaj?
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Long got anxiety for real. So if he says that, I agree.
Just like can't. The way that his thoughts get put together is just kind of like.
It's working for him.
Yeah.
Hey, Lone, can we shout out the partners real quick?
Sure.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J. Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Perhaps we can pivot and go to another conversation.
Yeah, I guess.
Perhaps.
So let's talk impactful voices in hip hop. And when I say impactful voices in hip hop, we're talking about artists, how they deliver, how they sound on records.
Well, I'm sorry. So more so related to like their voice, though?
Yes, their actual voice and how they sound on records versus, you know, your favorite artist or who dominates your playlist. It's not necessarily about that. It's just like this person. I like how they sound. I like their vibe. This is what I gravitate towards.
You keep saying vibe. You're throwing me off. Are we talking about their voice or are we talking
about? We're talking about their voice.
Okay.
Yeah. And maybe I'm saying vibe. I'm misspeaking. But I think their voice when they get on the beat is a part of the vibe.
It's not even about what they're saying.
As opposed to when they're not on the beat.
Well, I mean, if you want to,
you're
going to
confuse the conversation even more.
I know, right? But y'all know what I mean.
It's not even about what they're saying. It's just because
they sound good.
They're natural, God-given voice.
Lady,
kind of like being an actor and you like the way Morgan Freeman sounds.
Yes,
but he's not necessarily your favorite actor.
That's what I'm talking
about.
But
his voice and how he sounds.
His voice carries a specific way.
Right.
He doesn't sound like that.
Didn't say that he did. But maybe this is just how I normally talk.
Are there any artists that stand out to you all, you know, when I mention that? Because I have a few that I think that are
just
dope.
I got a few that are
just dope.
Very obscure, though.
That's fine. That's what we're talking about.
That you like, though?
Yes.
Yeah, like as far as like how they sound on a track, like...
Sounds like you don't have anybody.
I do. I'm just drawing a blank like I did on the last episode.
I got a name. I got one.
I do. But he rapped with one of your favorite people, Tupac, and them. He's on one of their tracks.
Big Psych?
No, not Big Psych. I knew you were going to say Big Psych.
I knew he was going to say Big
Psych. So much trouble in the world.
Don't influence this, Jay Moore. Don't do that.
I keep wanting to say Sebo, but
it's definitely not Sebo.
It's not Sebo.
Maybe it's Debo.
No, it's not
Debo either.
Ebo?
No, it's not Ebo. Stop, man.
Dang.
You can't think of it. We can circle back. We'll circle back.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe it's Bebo.
Maybe it's Tebow. Oh, stop. No.
It's definitely not Tebow. For me, you know, a person that sounds dope is Odyssey.
Odyssey
for me is one of those people where it just cuts through and it sounds good when he jumps on damn near anything.
Mm.
But dude has always been very unique from his delivery standpoint, how he approaches records. I just think he dope and it sounds dope.
CPO is what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I said Sebo. But CPO, I think he always had a really cool rap voice.
So it's a whole bunch of robot sounds?
No, you're thinking of C-3PO.
Yeah.
Oh,
but anyway.
And C-3PO had a British accent.
I know, right?
He didn't make noises.
Yeah. Odyssey's fire, though. Like, Odyssey.
So Odyssey's your choice. Yeah, Odyssey's your top choices?
Yeah, he's one of my top choices. Odyssey just sounds dope.
Scarface, too, though. Scarface has a voice. He's a dope MC.
Scarface was...
But his voice and how he delivers it, it almost demands attention.
It's unique.
I can respect that.
It's very unique, too.
I can respect that.
Very, very demanding. I like Andre 3000's voice.
I'm not mad at that.
I know, you know, I just think he has a... It also goes into how he delivers as well, but I like his voice a lot. I like Big Boy's voice a lot too, just in a different manner, just because it, like his short stuttering type of plays into it.
Big Boy's nice.
I like Fonte's voice as well.
What about Busta? I love Busta's voice.
Sometimes.
His is unique to me. Busta is extremely unique.
It's unique.
I ain't talking about Blockbuster. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about overall. Busta is one of the most unique people in hip hop history in terms of his voice and how he, you know, his voice fluctuates throughout the records. He's all over the place, but it works. It works to me.
I would also go nostalgic wise. I definitely think Tupac, but I would also say Jay Dilla. Jay Dilla has a really good rap voice.
If you in tune, yes.
I'm going to say Twista because he probably does the...
Everybody end up on Jay Dilla rapping is what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you meant if he's singing or rapping.
No. I'm like, if you know is what I'm saying.
Who doesn't know Jay Dilla at this point?
There's a lot of people that don't, man. It's sad. But I'm not going to derail it. Go ahead, Terry.
Nah, Twista though, because he can rap and do the double time to where he's understandably spitting lyrics.
I agree.
It's not like he's just doing double time for the sake of doing double time.
Twista's definitely in there. Yes, that's a very good call, bro. What do you Jay Moore, what you got, bro?
You know, just taking it to the 80s, old school some of y'all. One of the people that I always, and I can kind of tie these two people together, DMC does not get his props as an individual MC sometimes, because we think about how much we love Run DMC. Sometimes we don't think about how great DMC's voice was.
So you're talking about, you're still talking about uniqueness in terms of
DMC's voice, because he had a thing where, like, even his voice.
Great.
It's almost like he had a thing where he almost seemed like he was projecting more, but that was just his voice.
Yeah.
And I always say MCA and the Beastie Boys, rest in peace.
Oh.
The way he sounded just when he was spitting, it almost sounded like he was projecting harder, like he was yelling into the microphone. But that's just how his voice sounded.
He kind of had that raspy.
Yeah. So that's direct, you know, but that wasn't him yelling into the microphone. That is just how his voice sounded. And I always thought that was dope. And
DMX, of course, even.
But one of the things, one of the guys that, you know, we talk about him on so many different levels, but Snoop has something as just as his voice
smooth
that brought you in, because, of course, it's West Coast, but Snoop's people are from the South. So there was almost that, like, that drawl that was super relatable, but also gave it a smoothness when he was rapping that other people from the West Coast just didn't have. Not even other people from the West Coast, but just other people in hip hop. Like, Snoop might be one of the most unique aesthetic voices.
Snoop is definitely up there.
Hip hop. So I just think,
I agree.
You know, sometimes you can hear him when he's really flowing. You're like, gosh, there's nobody else that can do this.
I agree. Yeah.
He was real smooth on it. That's what kind of drew me in with Snoop, being so smooth and able to do it at the level that he did it at. But to circle back to DMX, DMX just had a...
it was just a God-given gift, yes.
You know what I'm saying? Powerful voice that just nobody can duplicate that DMX sound.
Well, he would also build up emotion while he was rapping.
Yeah.
True.
It would be like... Like, he would, like, bring it up and then crescendo and stuff while he was rapping.
If you're going to listen to one DMX song, it just shows you exactly what he could do with his voice and how he used it as an instrument off of his first album. Listen to Stop Being Greedy.
Yeah.
Because he's playing almost two different characters on this show. And it's not like they had to speed it up or change it around. Like,
eating long enough.
It was Stop Being Greedy might be one of my favorite DMX songs.
You know who else?
I like Damien off that album too.
Which was similar.
You know who else we're forgetting is Slick Rick.
I was going to mention Rick.
Slick Rick, you talk about unique.
So are we talking about unique or what we like? Because
I'm talking about what I like.
Because this conversation has turned into a unique conversation.
Well, I mean, it's a fine line in between it, but with Slick Rick, I like that. I personally am a fan of Slick Rick's voice 100%, and it's also unique.
Okay.
So, if we want to do it that way, that's cool.
Have a God-given,
well, he's also like, got
they
that
were
British.
Just given a special, they were just given a special voice by the way it sounds.
Right. Because, like, that's the reason why I brought up acting, so to speak, with... who did I say? Morgan Freeman.
C-3PO. Oh, okay.
Morgan Freeman, or even...
stupid. Shout to Anthony Daniels.
Or James Earl Jones. They have very distinct acting voices, but they're not necessarily my favorite actors.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So...
Were you guys ever a fan of Shondon's voice?
I know Shondon's voice. I see where you're going, but it didn't hit me like what we're talking about in that space.
I've never liked his voice, but a lot of people really do like it, and that's perfectly fine. It's just, it sounds very like theatrical almost.
Yeah, it didn't hit me.
Danny
bro, like
Brown.
Danny Brown is a good one. That's a good one.
I'm kind of thinking of people that have distinctive voices. You don't necessarily have to like all of their material or be a big fan.
It's just about their voice.
But it's more so their voice. They don't sound like anybody else.
You know what we're forgetting? It's Q-Tip. I think Q-Tip is unique. I think Q-Tip is unique in terms of his sound to me. And it's one that I really like.
Given,
I really like Q-Tip's voice on those Tribe records.
You know, unique voice from God. That's just who he was given that. Even if you don't break down his lyrics.
I think Q-Tip's voice on those Tribe records is extremely unique and in his own pocket.
But I feel like, I mean, but I'm a huge fan for his solo, you know, the Renaissance, his solo record is one of my
favorite albums. Amplified. Like, those records are dope.
You know, but then also you can take it to someone like Chuck D. He was like almost like if you're somebody who was just born to preach. Yeah. You know, like there's some preachers, like regardless if they even paying attention what's actually in the Bible, like their voice is so incredible. Like I can almost put it in that way. But Chuck D has that authoritative voice. And I'm glad that, you know, he decided to rap about what he would rap about. What? Imagine if Chuck D was just rapping about some foolishness with that voice.
It wouldn't hit the same.
I mean, or people would be much more into foolishness than they are now.
What if I told y'all, and y'all follow me here, right? Follow me. What if I told y'all Master P is a part of this?
No.
You said no so absolutely fast.
I can see it.
You don't see what I'm talking about?
Silk, from a unique Silk the Shocker is more than him.
Silk of the Shocker.
It's sick of the, if we're going to be honest.
If we're going to do voices, then we do
Master
Mystical.
P.
Then I would do Mystical. Exactly. Yeah.
Mystical,
you don't see, y'all don't see P?
Way, no. Mystical's way more almost than P.
There are people who you could pull off the street that could do that.
Are you sure?
It's probably a lot of Southern people that probably have the same kind of talk and linguistics, so to speak.
He wasn't given just this incredible rap voice.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. As far as
no, I'm sorry.
Master P is very unique. I'm not talking about his lyrical ability. We ain't talking about
that. I think C-Murder probably got a better rap voice than P does.
Sorry.
I don't know, man. I see you, Lone. I see you with Mystical. I get that part. Mystical is definitely there, but Master P, though.
Normal.
It's just normal. You got normal rating.
I think Q-Tips is normal, too. Just like I think Black Thoughts is kind of normal. Like, I think Black Thought, if his voice was somewhat different,
you probably get more appeal.
Probably would have a lot more appeal.
Jay-Z isn't actually.
Jay-Z doesn't have.
He doesn't
Jay-Z
really have
or
a voice.
Kanye, neither of them have really great voices.
No, they don't have good rap voices like that, but they are those dudes when it comes to rap.
I got two for you, Lone. Lupe and Kendrick.
Kendrick's got a great one.
Yeah.
Lupe's is.
I don't think.
Okay.
I've heard people. The reason I mentioned Lupe is because I've heard people say arguments against him.
No, for sure.
Is his voice. I don't like how he sound. I don't like how
a
he
lot
sound.
Of people don't like the higher pitched voices. That's why that's the argument against West Side Gun as well.
True.
And Andre sometimes.
I know people that don't like Jay-Z's voice.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think his voice is particularly great. It's more or less the things the production, the fact that I like his lyrics, but his actual voice isn't particularly special.
I think Kendrick especially.
I like what he does with it.
Yeah. That's what I meant. You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. I like how he uses it.
Same with Busta, same with DMX.
Right.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Right. All these people.
Whereas like a Lupe or a Black Thought or even a Q-Tip, they're really kind of in their same pocket all
it's
the time.
It's kind of almost and monotone there's nothing wrong. A little bit. It's like J. Cole-ish because a lot of people don't like J. Cole.
J. Cole's
voice
is not special.
Because they speak on his voice just being.
He just dope.
Regular.
Yeah, exactly. He's just dope though. Yeah, he's just dope. Lupe is just incredible. He's just dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's God level as in terms of an MC. So maybe there's not that many of these, but I think we've highlighted the most of them. Black Thought is elite, but there's nothing crazy about his voice. He's just dope.
Project Pat's got a unique voice.
He does. Yeah, I'll certainly Project Pat over Master P.
Yeah, way more.
I'm still fighting.
This dude right here is not a Project Pat fan. Remember, he thinks that what's my guy from Atlanta?
Pastor Troy.
He thinks that Pastor Troy is a better MC.
And I stand on that.
Than Project
and
Pat.
And I stand
and
on
there is absolutely no way that you can believe that.
No.
I stand
you don't
on
that.
It. I stand on
they're both. Ugh.
There's no way you believe that Project Pat is ugh.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Project Pat fan.
Well,
Pastor Troy,
you just missed that train.
Yeah, Project Pat did a song with the Roots and it was dope. So I'm sorry, I don't see Pat.
Lone,
Pastor Troy,
you're not missing too much.
He missed. No, I've heard Project Pat stuff.
I'm not saying Project Pat is no scrub.
No, not at all. But he doesn't impress me. Or
I'm not. I'm not about to cap and be like, I don't know who he is. Like, he's a legend. Facts.
He's but definitely better than Pastor Troy.
He's not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Shout out to Pastor Troy, but
yeah, he's not.
There's Nelly, just sing screaming.
You gonna play Nelly? You gonna play Nelly like that though?
I've never been a Nelly fan.
Nelly got some kids running around though. Be clear.
Like whom?
I ain't gonna name. You know I'm old, so don't put me.
Anybody? Look, you know who one of Nelly's biggest kids is? His name is Drake. There's no.
I think you know what. So
wait.
Talk about Drake a whole lot. So if you think about Drake, how he sounded, and we're pivoting all the way off of this conversation when I bring this up. We just talked about.
I don't see the Nelly Drake at all.
I don't see that, bro. I don't
but
see that.
Fonte and Drake early.
Now
Drake,
we talking.
Drake, his whole style was Fonte.
Swag. Yes.
Everything he did was Fonte.
Facts.
Like, if you go back and listen to Comeback Season, man, that sounds like, it sounds like a Fonte album.
Fonte Foreign Exchange
album. Really dive into Comeback Season and then think about, and then think about the video where you see him and he's talking about, oh my God, I love Fonte and Little Brother and bro. Think about that.
Comeback Season is one of Fonte's children paying homage to him.
Facts.
I mean, because Fonte is on. It's on the album.
Yeah.
It's documented.
Depending on
which
version of the album you got.
Yeah.
If you got the version where he just cut the beat off versus the other one.
Yeah.
Because they rapped over the Anita Baker joint. Yes. The Anita Baker sample. That body.
When he comes in, he sounds like Fonte rapping.
100%.
With a different voice.
100%.
Wheelchair chair Jimmy.
Long, just do me a favor, bro.
Nah, I'm cool. Yeah.
I just
no.
wanted you to revisit yeah, it, my no. brother. Just a little
no,
bit.
No, thank you.
No?
I'm not going to do it. I don't even have time for newer music. What makes you think I'm going to go back and listen to Drake? Drake?
What album were you trying to get him to listen to?
Comeback season.
Comeback Season.
Comeback Season was actually dope.
For sure.
That for sure but was cap. I'll do that.
I was kind of on it when it came out, though.
I was, too. And I didn't even like Drake back then, but I became a fan after that.
His first thing that he pretty much gave, so how would you not be a fan?
Well, the people that watched, what was the show?
Degrassi.
106 in Park.
Degrassi and all that other stuff. They was like, coming, man. Like,
well, no, 106 in Park had a version of Drake that didn't make it.
Okay,
If you go back, he had a video on 106 in Park. He had a performance on there. Not necessarily a performance, but he came and whatever.
I had cousins that were telling me about
that. Didn't make it. That one wasn't it. But when he came out with Comeback Season was like, all right, I kind of rock with dude. And then he came up with So Far Gone.
Yeah.
Which pretty much put him over.
Give Lil Brother they flowers.
All day. I'm telling you, Comeback Season is Fonte with a different voice.
And one day, one of my best friends and I, we're going to sit down and listen to it.
No, don't even put that out there.
One day it'll all make sense. Common has a very unique voice as well.
He does.
Good call, Long. Good call.
But I think if I was going to pick anybody who's got the most powerful voice...
Powerful versus...
Powerful, just genuine, good. Okay. I think if I had to pick one, and he's not even my favorite, but I have tons of respect for him, is probably Scarface.
Scarface's voice cut through everything.
Because he could do...
Man. It don't matter, bro.
Like, and he's really good.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, I don't think anybody's going to do
tone.
That.
I'm just talking about his vocal
tone. Right. Strictly vocal tone. Yeah, strictly vocal tone. Yeah.
Like, he can literally... He's talking.
Yeah.
And it's still just as powerful. I mean, it's also because Scarface just says some of the most powerful stuff ever.
And also Big Syke, man.
Big Syke. I ain't mad at you for Big Syke.
Big Syke
has
actually
has a really good voice. He kind of, that's why CPO is kind of similar to Big Syke voice wise. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go back and listen, because CPO was out before the Tupac, like when he got hip to them, because he actually had stuff on Rap City and
Because remember he was associated with MC Ren. He was like, "Yeah, this is my first artist on Ren Records." I don't know if that was actually a thing,
but his voice was commanding. It's like whatever he said, it's almost like you want him to keep saying it.
Yeah,
whether you liked the song or not, he had a cool voice.
And Tupac, Tupac and Scarface are probably like one of it was like smooth and
one of Scarface. One of his best examples of that, well, actually two, is Smile and Guess Who's Back. Guess Who's Back.
I think about A Minute to Pray and A Second to Die. I don't think there's anybody else who could do that record.
Yeah, a dead body.
But how he sounded on Smile and Guess Who's Back, Kanye, shout out to Kanye. I think, who else was on that?
Jay.
Jay was there, but it was Beans.
Yeah, that's right.
Bruh. Come on, man.
It's another one.
That whole album, the whole album that had...
Well, Jay was on there too, though.
Yeah, Jay was on there. But I'm talking about The Fix. Yeah. Go listen to Scarface on The Fix.
Yeah.
That's the epitome of what Lone is talking about to me. That album is crazy, bro. It cuts through everything. Scarface he's one of one, 100%.
And I have to say, you just mentioned him, but Beanie Sigel. Beanie Sigel's early voice, you know, before he had all the issues. But Beanie Sigel had a... great voice.
DLC before he had.
Oh, I mean, DLC might have had.
Thank
he might have had the best of
Thank
all
you.
Time.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
But he fits in that. He fits in that mode of DMC, MCA guys who could actually rhyme and sound like they were projecting harder. But that's just how they sounded.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. Good call with DMC.
Or yeah,
DLC. I mean not DMC, but the DLC.
Yeah, definitely. Can't
yeah, good call
the
with the DLC. Yeah.
What about Be Real?
I just wasn't a big fan of Cypress Hill.
And the fact that he doesn't really even sound like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he did that intentionally. That's when they started popping off when he changed his voice.
And that's when I didn't like it. Yeah. It was just like, this is weird. I don't like
it's
it.
It's kind of like how, oh, this is such a messed up comparison, but like how Shaggy doesn't really sound like that.
Yeah. Shaggy actually was better to me than Be Real, though.
I mean, I like Cypress Hill more than I like Shaggy.
Hey, listen, I can't say that.
Oh, come on.
I think that's cap, bro. That's cap, bro. That's cap.
What? What's cap?
You can find more Cypress Hill than you can Shaggy, bro. That's cap, bro.
I can't.
That's cap, Terry. Come on,
sorry,
man. You don't believe that.
I do.
It wasn't me.
I like that song.
did you like that?
It was cool. What about Bizarre?
No.
I don't like nobody from D12 except for Eminem and Denon Porter.
Denon Porter is
like
a genius.
I like his production.
Denon Porter is a genius.
I mean, there's Royce.
Passed away.
Royce is stupid.
Royce really wasn't in D12, though.
No. He's associated, though. He's associated.
But he was, no.
They was, him and Eminem was beefing when D12 came out. Proof. Yeah.
Yeah, Proof.
But other than that, I'm really cool on D12.
I'm not a real huge fan of Meek Mill. Yeah, he screams all the time.
Well, I know multiple people that will tell me to my face.
A lot of people, because Meek Mill literally has an anthem, right? Anthem with the Dreams and Nightmares intro.
That's cool.
An anthem.
But at the same time, I remember the first time I heard Meek Mill, I'm like, so we just going to act like this dude isn't rapping like Petey Crack?
Well,
I mean, you got to understand, too. A lot of early state property MCs are what influenced Philly MCs that we're hearing today. Even we go down to Chris and
Neef.
Neef, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
What about that guy Spools likes from the
Stop, Long.
Spoonie?
Schoolie D, man.
Oh, that was early 80s.
That's way before all this. Schoolie D. Shout out to Schoolie D. That's way before.
Yeah, that'd be like, well, what about Cool C and Steady B?
Yeah, we ain't gonna do that.
Freeway.
Yeah, because I mean, Prince. Even Jay had a Chris flow for a minute.
Freeway's one. Freeway.
Yeah, definitely one. Freeway. Freeway's one. I can't believe we got this far in the conversation. Didn't mention
Freeway. Freeway is one. Yeah, you talk about unique. Yes, Freeway is one.
Nobody, you know, if somebody else tried to do that
I've never heard nobody sound close to Freeway.
Yeah, if somebody else tried to do that verse off of 1-800 Hustler, like, it'd be like, no.
Bro,
no,
what we do? What we do?
Stop Shock it. G.
Yeah.
Shock G. Rest in peace at OG.
Two different voices.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Rest in peace at Shock G. That's true.
Which was influenced by Parliament Funkadelic.
Yes.
Giorgio.
What? Who is Giorgio?
Giorgio Clinton.
That's no.
I think that's what he's he was going
Giorgio Clinton. It's the other version of him.
All right, see, now we're getting a weird accent.
Now we're starting to get.
Might be time to shut it down.
Yeah, it was getting close.
I speak this accent for rest year.
No, please don't go out of town doing that. You mess around and wind up in one of the rooms.
Well,
I can make a booger talk.
No, we don't want that. we don't want that. I don't need
like
that.
Chucky Booker.
Jay I'm Moore. Surprised you actually know who Chucky Booker is. That's interesting.
You're just turned away.
You like when did you get hip to Chucky Booker?
Shouts to Fife Dog, man.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you know.
That's cool.
Y'all give my man props in the comments.
All right.
That's the end of the 80s R&B right there.
Yeah.
I didn't say I knew any of the music.
Oh,
okay.
Oh
yeah. It don't matter, though. But he dropped the names, though. It don't matter. He dropped the name.
All right.
I see you, Long. All right, man. Look.
Sound like a good time.
y'all
somebody.
Y'all know the instructions. NewOldHeads.com for all the education that you need this year. Like it, subscribe. If you see it, share it, sign up for it. The Patreon is where it's at. You get all of the unedited exclusive content. We really talk crazy and y'all get all that exclusive footage. Totals. You might get an album review low key if you pay attention. So
yeah, probably not.
You know, just stay in tune with us. We appreciate the support as always. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
He said, "Por favor." He said, "Please."
That's basic level.
Let's say más.
Speak American.
Tú sabes.
Don't say más. That's something a lot. Something more.
I know more.
Hey, look. Yeah. Rosetta Alone has no idea what he's talking
about.
We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
In a minute.
Adios. Ciao.
All these migrants.